Lesson 27, Cursing Israel. This lesson begins on page 196 of your book. This audio text version does not contain the reading of any listed footnotes. Jesus and his disciples returned to Jerusalem Tuesday morning, after spending the night in Bethany. While on the road, both Matthew and Mark record that Jesus was hungry, and saw a fig tree in the distance that had leaves on it. Upon arrival at the tree, Jesus expected he would find something to eat. Upon discovering no fruit, Jesus cursed the tree. His cursing of the fig tree is symbolic of the Antichrist making his plans to destroy the nation of Israel. The Antichrist will discuss his diabolical designs for the destruction of Israel with his staff over breakfast on Saturday, June 6, 2037. Upon arrival at the temple, they will begin immediate implementation. The entry of Jesus on Palm Sunday was fulfillment of perhaps the greatest prophecy God ever uttered. His promise of sending a long-awaited Messiah had at last come true. Mankind's redemption and salvation would finally be at hand. The one group who was watching and waiting for the Messiah were so blinded by their desire for a conquering king that they missed it. And so, Israel rejected him, God's anointed one. The entry of the Antichrist into the temple will likewise be another significant prophecy. His arrival will instead signal the beginning of the greatest time of persecution in the history of mankind. In fact, were God himself not to step in and shorten the number of days, mankind would be totally wiped out. Once again, the Hebrews will be blinded, but this time by the arrival of a conquering king. The first thing Jesus did upon entering the temple Monday morning, was to drive out all who were polluting God's temple. He physically removed those persons, conducting personal business within the temple. In the text, the word, exebalen, is used, and means to cast or throw out. It is used to convey a notion of physical violence. It gives the image of compelling one's departure with enough force, so as not to be able to resist. Upon his arrival on Sunday morning, the Antichrist will essentially perform the same action. The Antichrist will enter the temple and begin clearing it of all implements associated with Hebrew worship. Please see the chart on page 198. Here, we see the chart detailing the significant actions of the Antichrist's unholy week. On Saturday, the Sabbath, he will clear the temple of all items of Hebrew worship, as well as kicking out all the rabbis and any temple personnel. This will happen on June 6, 2037. He will prepare the temple to do the business of his father, the devil. He will remove the priests and clerics who are engaged in God's work for preparing and performing the daily sacrifice. The Antichrist will display his displeasure with the Jews for having restarted the rites of sacrificing. In yet another stunning display of a lack of respect for his people, the Antichrist is going to perform his triumphal entry, in direct violation of the Sabbath, the Hebrew day of rest. A provision of the peace treaty will be the elimination of the daily sacrifice. When the two witnesses appear, the Jews will immediately resume the sacrifice, perhaps even doing so in secret. The witnesses will keep anyone away who might want to try and stop the sacrifices from taking place. While Jesus removed those persons conducting personal business, the Antichrist will eliminate all those associated with God's business. He will view their actions as illegitimate and forcibly expel them. The Antichrist will be clearing out the temple to make way for his own personal business to be conducted. This too, Jesus predicted when he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations." That is precisely what the Antichrist has in mind for God's temple. He is going to open its doors for all the world to see inside. On Saturday morning, his one task is to empty the temple to make way for the universal religion he will soon himself start and lead. I'm sure the Antichrist will begin teaching his brand of religious philosophy immediately upon entry into the temple. After all, he will still be flush with the rush of his apparent victory over God. The Bible tells us the most blasphemous things are destined to come out of this man's mouth. The Antichrist will be preparing the temple for the arrival of the biggest surprise. By using the actions of Jesus as a guide, I know that the Antichrist will be prepping the area for implementation of his big plan. While we, who know prophecy, are aware of what is about to happen, I wonder if the population at large will have any idea of what's coming next. After clearing out the temple, the Antichrist and his staff will once more retreat to somewhere outside the city, to spend Saturday evening. Tuesday morning found Jesus traveling once again into Jerusalem. He came to the top of a hill, which overlooked Jerusalem. He stopped and while staring over the city, began to uncontrollably weep for the people of Jerusalem. This too is an important prophecy. He spoke aloud, "If you had accepted me this day, you would now have salvation. But instead, your choice will have lasting consequences." I translated this verse, using a word-for-word approach. This is a huge clue to the end times, so please remember it. It will now be Sunday morning in Jerusalem. This is the day, the Antichrist is going to place an image of Satan, inside the temple, directly into the Holy of Holies. The date is now June 7, 2037, the time of God's third and final wake-up call. This is the day the Antichrist will move an idol into God's most holy place, on earth. In one fell swoop, Satan will be seeking to violate the top four commandments for all people willing to follow him. That negates the prime purpose of the two witnesses' testimony. Satan will have been waiting anxiously a very long time for this moment to arrive. The Antichrist's next move will be to demand that all people of the world begin worshiping the idol inside the temple. It will very soon become a mandatory requirement before anyone will be allowed to trade in the world's commerce system. All hell is literally about to befall Israel, followed shortly thereafter for the remaining population of the world. The tears of Christ were visible frustration the Lord was feeling over the people of Israel. Jesus knew, despite all their disobedience, the Hebrew race would have been forgiven, had they only repented and accepted him. Their bondage would have been lifted. Israel could have avoided all events of the coming great tribulation, had they only embraced the lowly Messiah. They could have avoided the tribulation. Instead, their fate was set by their unbroken denial. They would have to endure not only 2,000 years of broad persecution and intense pain, but the final terrible 7 years of mankind, as well. Friends, please pay very close attention. This same message is being given to all members of this final generation. You can heed the warning now, and miss all the coming adversity and misfortune. Or, you can ignore it at your peril. That includes everyone who is reading or hearing this message. The Jews will live to experience the greatest prophecy of evil ever. They will witness the man called the Antichrist enter God's most holy place on earth, polluting it with an idol. Right before their eyes, they will see the arrival of Satan's next Hitler, who is seeking to crush them in one final blow. He and his inner circle of demons will be putting the final touches on their plan for Israel's demise. This will be the second time the Jews will have a front row seat to time-altering prophecy. The last time, Israel rejected the real Jesus as Messiah. This time, they will embrace a phony, whose evil will remain hidden until his true colors are revealed. Placing an idol squarely inside the Holy of Holies will remove any lingering doubt as to his true identity. And, as in Jesus' day, the chief priests and teachers of the law will begin to formulate a plot of their own against the Antichrist. They will now know he's an impostor and not the Messiah. After he shuts down and pollutes their most holy portal to Yahweh, they will certainly be bent upon revenge. But, will it be too late to stop the son of perdition from making his prophetical appointed rounds? Just as the Pharisees and Sadducees were unable to slow the movement of the hands of God's clock, the emergence of evil will also be unstoppable. Lesson 27, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, Satan desires to destroy the nation of Israel. Explain why this is true. Question 2, what date will an idol be placed in the temple? Question 3, why did Jesus throw out all the merchants conducting business in the temple? Question 4, list any commandments the Antichrist will violate by putting an idol inside the temple. Question 5, Jesus cried when he saw Jerusalem on Tuesday morning. Explain the reason for his tears. Question 6, why did Jesus prophesy that the temple would be called a house of prayer for all the nations? Question 7, explain how the answer to question 6 will happen. When you're ready, you can proceed on to lesson 28, Caught in a Lie. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the page with the chapter 6 lessons. Then move on to lesson 28, Caught in a Lie. Click on the blue box to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for lesson 28, labeled 6.28, Caught in a Lie, to hear the next lesson.